Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of the workingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. It's a pleasure to be back after our little vacation, a couple of months. I'm very excited today. In the studio with me is beautiful smile, Julie Corbalis.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Now, we have a mutual friend, Pete Hopp.
Mm-hmm.
Do you call him Pete or Petey?
I just go by the website, Petey.
Okay, Petey Hopp. So basically you go down to his Monday night acoustic jam in Pleasantville at Lucy's, or?
You know what? I haven't actually been down to that yet. That's something, I see it, it comes up on the MySpace reminders and things like that.
Right.
But I live and I teach in East Harlem, so it makes it hard to go out on school nights. So I have not been down there yet.
Okay, I'm just trying to think. What's East Harlem? A half an hour from White Plains?
Oh, yeah, by train. You know, it could be up to an hour with the traffic, but half an hour.
Did you take the train today?
I did. I took the train today.
Good for you. Supporting mass transit.
Yeah.
Well, I did some research on you. I checked out your website.
Thank you. It was very,
very interesting. You're a singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
You're also a co-writer.
Mm-hmm.
And you've played with bands, but your current thing is more solo work?
That's right.
And why, I was reading on your website, your first gig was playing third rhythm guitar on Enter the Sandman Metallica, was that it?
It was actually Fade to Black Metallica.
Oh, okay.
So my brother and I both got musical instruments for, I don't know, 8th and 9th grade that Christmas that year. He got a bass and I got a guitar. And, you know, he had friends that were already in a band. And so that was just me tagging along and them saying, you know, I guess your sister can stay if she plays third rhythm guitar to this Metallica song. And I said, I'm going to learn it. I'm staying. So.
So heavy metal is now your music of choice? Is that it?
You know what? I love all music, and I was actually just throwing around singing a little bit for my brother's metal band, but it's not quite up my alley, so I think I might just leave that to him.
Interesting. So why the switch from playing in bands to... I mean, actually, you've come full circle. You started acoustic guitar singing, and now you're back doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of reasons. I love to play all the time, and it is hard, as you know, because you're in a band. It's hard to get everybody on the same page for, you know, for all kinds of shows, day or night, money, no money. You know, there's a lot of bases to cover. And playing solo, I'm a lot more flexible to just get up and go. You know what I mean? So that's a big part of why I play solo a lot now. And the other thing is, like you said, when I first started writing, a lot of the songs are just acoustic based. And I really, you know, love the way they sound acoustic, and I want to try to play them just like that. So.
Interesting. Just got this Miranda Lambert album. Do you know who she is?
She had a hit a few years ago with the TV show, didn't she?
She was a Nashville star, mm-hmm. a country version of American Idol.
Oh, okay.
But what's great about her is she writes these songs that are almost Stevie Nicks-ish in that they're very, very simple chord progression.
Uh-huh.
But she has this great, even though she's country, she has this great rock band behind her that does these amazing arrangements of her.
That's cool.
Of her tunes. So but I understand the business. Do you find the business a little tougher now with the recession?
To be honest with you, the music business for me has always been tough. I don't think it's any different now. I have a friend who runs a successful music store, and we were chatting one day, and he said, when I was playing in the 60s, I made $100 a gig. And he said, now I'm playing in the 2000s, and I make $100 a gig. So I kind of find that I'm having the same kind of luck. So
that's funny, because that's true. It's even the busboys make more than the musicians.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's a tough situation because, you know, we play for cash a lot, so we're not really in a position to, you know, to demand more when it's, you know, a lot off the books. I don't know if you can say that, but...
Well, what I find is if you have a band, and let's say you go in for $300.
Mm-hmm.
For the club, for it to be worthwhile for the club, I think they've got to make $400 on drinks and food.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have overhead just turning the lights on. And maybe they'll have an extra bouncer that they got to pay $50 or something. So I try to look at it as a business from their point of view.
Yeah.
Because I really hate to go to a club knowing I'm not going to bring a lot of people, especially the first time, not knowing who's going to be at the club, whether he's going to have cash in the register to pay me at the end of the night.
Right, right.
And sometimes you're playing the whole gig, and the whole time you're thinking, man, is this guy going to... You're singing the song, and you're smiling, and you're thinking, is he going to pay me? Is he not going
to
pay me?
Well, I try to shy away from gigs where I know that's going to happen, and the longer you do it, I think I've been actively gigging for about 10 years now, maybe 9 years. So with this new record, one of the things I try to do a lot is to book shows that... where that's not going to be an issue. You know, I'm not going to make a lot of money, but the agreement is up front and it's honest, and, you know, the point is that everybody's in the know for what's going to happen that night as far as money goes.
All right, let's talk about your new album, which I am slowly bringing up in the perfect fashion that we rehearsed. Am I doing it right, Joe? Bring it down? That's good. Today we have Joe and Kim on camera. We've got a little bit of a rivalry here. Okay, good. So that's your album. I was looking on the back of it, and I saw the first tune was Johnny and June,
mm-hmm.
and I was telling you that was a huge country hit.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know.
Right.
I really did it.
Yeah, wouldn't it be funny if it was actually your song and you haven't seen any...
Yeah, I will. That'd be pretty awesome, but hopefully I would have gotten that call.
You know, quickly, I want to switch back. What clubs do you play? I mean, I don't really want to know, but what are the few clubs that you do play on a fairly regular basis?
No, there are a lot. There are a lot, and they're spread out over Westchester and the city.
Name the club.
Upstate through New York. I've been playing recently. I've actually been playing at the Eagles Club in Ossining a lot for the happy hour there. It's a private club, but they're always recruiting new members, and it's a great place to play. The people love original music. They love covers. So I've been playing there, and I've also been... I've played the Sunset House many times in Peekskill, and where else? I've been playing down in the city at a lot of clubs in Astoria. That's where I used to live there, and so I've made a lot of friends playing at a place called McLaughlin's down there. So, you know, some open mics. I recently played the New Eurekan Poets Cafe, which is down on the Lower East Side. And this summer, I've got a lot of shows coming up upstate in more towns like Saugerties and Saratoga. There's a place up in Saratoga called Gaffney's. So... especially with the new CD, I'm trying to broaden my horizons in terms of what clubs to play. You know, I would love to try every club once, you know. Maybe we're on the same page, maybe we're not on the same page as far as the venue. But I'm open to playing everywhere.
Do you do a mixture of covers and originals or just originals?
I do both. I try to do... an even balance, 50-50, whenever I can. But the covers I play, a lot of classic rock. My dad raised me on the Beatles and the Stones and Tom Petty, and I play a lot of that stuff. So, I feel like my originals and those covers kind of complement each other. They're all kind of in a similar genre, and my originals are really influenced by them. So, and I'm playing more country and more Elvis Costello and other things like that recently, too.
Cool. Well, why don't you grab your guitar, see if you can reach it now that we got you hooked up to the
right.
mic.
I'll try my best.
And the amazing thing is we actually use the same pick. I've never met anybody else who uses the Dunlop .88mm pick.
You're making me feel bad because I didn't even know that that was the name of this pick.
Yeah, they're expensive. Jim Dunlop. I don't know, this camera, that camera. An 88.
You're making me feel bad. Whoever I stole this from, I'm going to owe them, what, $1? $1.50? What is this?
I have to buy them by the bag. So what are you going to play?
I'd like to play a song for you called Should Have Stayed Away, which is the third track on my new CD, Old Flames and New Names. And it's very influenced by the old country cats, like Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson and people like that.
All right. Let her rip.
Thank you. Okay. This is called Should Have Stayed Away. Well, I try not to go to the west side no more. After my you.
Now, do you play solo guitar renditions on your CD?
Yep. There's a couple songs. The first track and the last track are just solo acoustic. The other tracks that are sandwiched in between are mostly acoustic, small band type of thing. Some of them have drums. Some of them don't have drums. And, you know, most of them, they have one or two acoustic guitars, bass guitar, and maybe lead. And, you know, a little bit of percussion, but not necessarily a kit.
Now, was that song have any tie to reality, or was that song just a daydream?
Yeah, the thing about all my music on all three of my CDs with the band and solo is that that's pretty much how I write. It's just all autobiographical. I know there are people, some of my favorite singer-songwriters like Richard Schindel, for example, who I just went to go see at the Town Crier on Sunday night. He can put himself in somebody else's shoes, you know what I mean? And he's got these beautiful songs about all these different stories, these lives that these people lead. And I would like to be able to do that, but my strength, as far as I can tell, is just writing about what I've experienced myself. So, you know, they're all autobiographical is the point.
So if you become rich and famous, that dude's gonna hit you up for money. Is that it?
I hope not, but
he could.
I guess he could, yeah.
Okay, how about another one?
Okay. I'd be happy to play another one for you. This one is a song that is not even a year old. This is the youngest song on the CD, and it kind of came about hanging out with more folk singers than I ever have before. You know, for many years, hanging out in the bar circuit, I met a lot of rock musicians. And now that I've got an acoustic CD that is a little bit more flexible in terms of where I can play, you know, you can't always put a full band in a coffee shop, I've been meeting a lot of folk artists. And this song kind of came out of spending a lot of time with people like Fred Gillen Jr. and Matt Turk and Steve Kirkman and some people like that who are for the most part, folk singers in the Westchester, Putnam area, in the Hudson Valley. So this song is kind of inspired by them. It's called Free Ourselves from Old. Thank you. you.
Very nice. I want to shift a little bit and talk about our specially prepared questions.
Okay, which I've been stressing out over because they're difficult.
Yeah, they're not difficult. I mean, the point of the questions is to let people know who your influences are.
Okay.
Basically, so the question I want to deal with on part one of of Julie Corbalis is, what two or three CDs would you bring to a desert island?
I've been thinking about this for the last week. And
wow.
I know that whatever I say, I'm going to kick myself in an hour. I'm like, oh, I should have said that instead. But there's a couple that are on my mind right now. And one of those is Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers. That's
okay.
Something, it's got to be from the mid-60s. And it's got Hem of His Garment on it, and Only 16, and Another Saturday Night. And I just love Sam Cooke. I just can't get enough of him. So I could listen to that forever. And the other one, can I pick two more?
Yeah.
The other one, definitely any CD, it doesn't matter which one, by the Beatles. I don't care which one it is. You could pick it if you want to. And I'll listen to it forever.
My favorite one is the one with No Reply on it.
That's a good one. See, that's the
Babies
thing.
Babies in Black.
See, I love them all. When I was growing up, my dad, he just had made mixtapes of all Beatles songs.
Wow.
So people say, oh, you can't be a real Beatles fan. You don't know when this album came out, and you don't know what was on when the B-side of I Want to Hold Your Hand. And I don't know that stuff, but I know every single book, every single song in that 1,000-page book that that all the Beatles songs are in. So I'll take any Beatles CD, whichever one. And the other one I was thinking about today was The Counting Crows, August and Everything After. That's another one of my favorite CDs.
Wait, what were the big songs off of that one?
Well, Mr. Jones is the big
Mr.
one.
Mr. Jones, right.
But and that's a great song, but Sullivan Street and Anna Begins and Round Here. They're just, when I listen to that CD, I forget I'm listening to a CD. You know what I mean? It's just such a special bunch of songs. And I don't know if it's the mics they recorded with or it's the talent of the band. I don't know what it is. But that CD gets me every time.
To me, it's the guy. The singer is the talent of that band.
Yeah, Adam Duritz.
Yeah. And I was really, really disappointed in the way they promoted their last double album.
Mm-hmm.
Because he came out in all these interviews, he said, all my life I've had psychological problems, I'm on medication.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so sad. He ruined, the mystique.
Yeah, well,
like, I don't want to think of you as a fat, troubled little boy. I want to think of you as a rock star.
Yeah, well, you know what? I knew he wasn't a rock star because I saw him at Jones Beach, and he came out after the set. And not only, even before the set, he came out and watched the opening band from beginning to end, just like a fan. But then he...
Julie, I'm sorry to cut you off,
okay.
But we're
That's
just
okay.
about out of time. Thank you so much for being on part one.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right.